Amen. That wasn't loud enough. You know, we have a special for tonight, right? Right? Let's do that one too. Two specials tonight.
Amen.
Whatever already is planned and that one. Because I really liked that. Amen. Thank you for that song. We're going to be in the Gospel of John this morning. So find that in your Bibles. John 18. Stand with me. I don't know about y'all, but that got me fired up. Amen. It is finished. I mean, it's done. He took care of it. And that means if you turn your heart to Him, you don't have to worry anymore. That's what it's all about. We're going to begin reading in verse 28. And we're going to read all the way to the end of this chapter. 28 to verse 40. So just put your seatbelt on. It'll be good. John chapter 18, verse 28. Now let me say for our guests, this morning we're going through the Gospel of John. And so we take it verse by verse. We don't leave anything out. So this happens to be the passage we're in for today. And you say, well, Pastor knew that I was going to be here, and that's why he did that sermon. No? I mean, maybe I knew you were going to be here, but God had this just for us. So it might be that he has something for you today. Verse 28, look what the Bible says. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas, which, by the way, he's the high priest, unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall. That is, the Jews, they wouldn't go into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? So Pilate wanted to know, what is going on? Why is this man here? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. It's ironic that they said it that way. They didn't actually have an accusation. They just said, well, obviously, he's a malefactor. And if he wasn't a criminal, which that's what malefactor means, just a criminal, generally speaking, then we wouldn't have brought him. But what did he do? Well, they didn't say what he did. It's just obvious, right? We brought him, therefore he must be a criminal. Verse 31, Pilate said unto them, take ye him, judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. And they really showed their hand, didn't they? That's what they wanted. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? You can tell he's getting aggravated here. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the, say that next word, truth. Everyone that is of the, say it, truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. Or rather, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one that is one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? He's being sarcastic. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Pilate said, what is truth? Interesting question. Father, I pray your blessings on this message. We need you. God, there are those that are here that have the same question. They're here, and they have the same question that Pilate has. I pray that you'd guide us to see the truth this morning. We'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Raise your hand if you're impatient. You're impatient, you admit it. Okay, you put your hand down. Get out of your way, right? Waiting at a stoplight, and the guy in front of you, he's looking at his cell phone because it happens every time, you know? And let's not act like you don't do it sometimes. Some of you are like, no, and you're the one who's impatient. You're announcing it to everybody. But You know, I start honking and all that. It happens. I get honked at when I didn't even do anything. You know, I'm like, okay, whatever. Go ahead. You first. King, you're the king. You go, you know. Just let them have it, you know. Impatient. I do get impatient with my wife sometimes because she is, you know, she's not here to defend herself this morning. She's actually playing the piano for Brother Vaught in Scottsdale, and so what a blessing we're able to help out that way. But I do get impatient with her. She's taking a long time, you know. I don't do like maybe some of you guys start honking on the horn. I mean, I want to, but I just wait with patience. Well, impatience. But so there's impatience. Sometimes there's impatience in our relationship with God. And the reason I say that is because God doesn't work on our timetable. He goes at a different pace than what we want him to sometimes. And sometimes we're having it could be a financial issue or an emotional issue, a family issue, or issue at our job, and we're trying to live for him and obey him and do what he wants us to do, but it's not getting corrected as quickly as we want. It seems as though not only is it not getting better, but sometimes it feels like it's getting worse. And so what happens is we're trying to obey God and do what he wants us to do, but we get impatient with God. And although we might not verbalize it, we might not confess or admit it that I'm getting impatient with God, our actions actually show that we're getting impatient with God because we start doing things in the flesh. We start doing things the way that we think would, you know, help things to get better. We might say something. We might get another job. It takes us out of church. We might say something to try to, you know, let somebody know in this relationship the issue that we're having. But every time we do that and we're in the flesh, it never makes that relationship better. It always makes it harder, always makes things worse. So now we have, you know, what issue was there because of our impatience, and we want God to do some things there because he's not doing it as quickly as we want. We get involved and then it makes it worse. And so, you know, that's what happens in our life. We get impatient with what God is doing or what God wants to do. We wonder, why is it happening this way? And let's not act like we don't have this time, these times in our life. It definitely happens. It shows up in our life through inconsistencies. We are one way, we're excited on this day, and we love God, we're reading our Bible, we're praying, and we're where we should be, and we're doing what we should do. We get impatient, and we get away from God, and we start doing it our way, and we get in the flesh. And it's this roller coaster we're on, because we get impatient with God. And we want things to line up. We want the puzzle pieces to fit. I mean, in a quick way. Some of us, I mean, we don't, like I mentioned puzzles, we don't do puzzles. Why? It takes too long. It's too much stuff. I mean, here's how my wife is. I'm the guy who starts the puzzle. My wife's the one who comes in and finishes it. You know, like, and we're getting close. The best part, and she comes in, oh, I can take it from here. There's like 12 pieces left, you know. I did all the hard work. That's how we can be with God. We want the puzzle pieces to come together, and we want it to happen quickly, and it doesn't always happen that way. Now, we think of impatience, and that's what the Jews were. I mean, they were tremendously impatient with Jesus. Now, you say, well, you know, they could be patient with him along the way. No. They didn't like Jesus at all, and they never liked him. Do you know why? Because he never fit their plan. They had a view of the way things should be. And whenever Jesus, his ways didn't fit into what they thought the plan should be, they had friction with him. They hated him. And so there was friction with Jesus between him and the Jews all along. He would call them hypocrites. He would call them vipers. He would call them whited sepulchers, basically beautiful on the outside, but dead men's bones on the inside. And so you can, I guess with me that wasn't creating a happy relationship between Jesus and the Jews. And so there was friction all the way. But they were losing patience. What do you mean? Well, they didn't have an accusation against him. They wanted him to be indicted. As a matter of fact, they show their hand here. They wanted him dead. They wanted him out of the way and off the scene. And they'd done that along the way, but they didn't have anything to accuse him of. Not anything legitimate that they could bring him to a trial and actually have him tried legally and then put to death legally. And so their impatience had the best of them, and that's what caused this trial to take place. And they gathered together with the Romans. They put together this de facto kind of illegal trial in the middle of the night with Annas and Caiaphas. And we talked about that in time in some of the messages in the past. And then through that, they still had no legitimate accusation. So they thought what we can do, even though we have nothing against Jesus, is we can deliver him to Pilate, and Pilate will acquiesce to our demands. I mean, we can't have him put to death, but Pilate can. And so we'll take him to Pilate. Pilate will follow through with what we can't follow through with. And that is the manifestation of their impatience. And that's where our text begins. And so in verse number 28, they led Jesus to Caiaphas, into the hall of judgment. And so here they are. They're at the hall of judgment. They're at Pilate. Now, it's interesting they won't go into the hall. Now, why won't they go into the hall? Because it violates their religious laws. And so the Mishnah teaches that, which is a Jewish book of traditional writings or laws of the rabbi that teaches, you know, as a Jew, you do this and you don't do that. It's not just Levitical law. It's also oral law or laws that help the Jews understand and know what they're supposed to do. So the law said that you are not to go into, a place of death or a place of judgment like this, especially as it relates to the Gentiles. And so they wouldn't go into the hall. Why? Because they didn't want to violate the religious laws. It's so ironic, isn't it? That they wanted to be religious. At the same time, they're illegally trying to try somebody and murder them. And so there's an inconsistency there already with these Jews, and they're bringing them to Pilate. Now, Pilate comes out, and he knows in the end what's happening. He wants to know, why are they there? He asks. Pilate went out to them, verse number 29, because they wouldn't go into him, what accusation to bring against this man. So he wanted to know, what is his crime? What did he do? Is there a legitimate accusation or crime that needs to be tried in this court? Well, they didn't have anything, so they just said, he's a malefactor. He's a criminal. Obviously, he's a criminal. If he wasn't a criminal, then we wouldn't have brought him to you. Well, what was his crime? Well, we're not going to tell you that crime. Just take our word for it. I mean, he's a criminal. And so Pilate says, well, if he's a criminal and you don't have a specific crime, then you go take him and you deal with this yourself. Well, I mean, he needs to be put to death, but we don't have a law that allows that he can be put to death. And so now Pilate is in a frustrating position. A frustrating position because he, legally speaking, there's no reason for Pilate to have to deal with this man other than one thing. What is it? Civil unrest. The Jews are upset. And it's his responsibility as the governor or as the one who is, the representative of Rome towards the Jews is this, that he would have to keep civil peace. That's his job, part of his job. And so if there's unrest with the Jews, he would deal with the issue to keep the peace. Why? Because they wanted peace with the Jews so that they continue, so there wouldn't be some kind of a revolt that would take place against the Roman government. So now Pilate's in a position, even though there's no legitimate crime, he has to do something about it. And we can sense his frustration because Jesus is taken into the hall for judgment, and Pilate begins to, interrogate him. Interrogating him, asking him, kind of like what the Jews asked him before, tell us who you are, tell us what you did, so that he would make a self-accusation. Well, look what Pilate said. Verse number 32. Go to verse 31. Pilate said to them, take him, judge him according to your law. Pilate, let's go to verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? So Pilate here asked Jesus if he was truly a king. Now, this isn't the kind of king. Pilate's question is not the kind of question that is to say a king like God is the king, but a king as to say, are you somebody who is trying to create a rebellion in this nation? Are you somebody that the Roman government needs to be afraid about? Because that is something that has happened in the past, where there would be men that would rise up and find or put together gatherings or groups of people, and they would rebel against the Roman government, and then it would have to be stifled. So Pilate's question here is, are you a king? Do I have to be concerned about some rebellion or some uprising? I can almost feel some sort of a sarcasm in his question or frustration connected to his question. He's like going through the motions. I would say that maybe his heart really isn't in it, but he's just going through the motions. Who are you? Are you somebody that the Roman government needs to be concerned about? Well, look what Jesus said, verse 34. Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did other tell thee of me?" So Jesus' response is similar to his response to the Jews. Is there a witness? Is there somebody? By the way, if you're going to be tried in a court, there needs to be witnesses. I mean, this is what makes something legal, is that there's a witness to the crime. Jesus points out the fallacy in this trial right at the beginning of the questioning. Did somebody else say this about me? Or is there another witness? Now, this gets Pilate frustrated because he's not interested in the legality of all of this. He just wants to know, what did you do? Why are you here? Who are you? Are you a king? Your own people brought you to me. Your own people are rejecting you. You tell me who you are. Do I need to be concerned about you? Does the Roman government need to be concerned about you? Just tell me, who are you? That's what he wants to know. What hast thou done? Verse 36, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. So he's responding to Pilate by saying, my kingdom is not of this world. What's that mean? It means I'm not here to cause a rebellion against the Roman government. You don't have to be concerned about me. My kingdom isn't of this world. And by the way, think of the spiritual truth of that. He's already starting to open up the message of the gospel, isn't he? Yeah. Listen, you're out in the world has its message, doesn't it? The world has its way, the world has its, and we talked about it in Sunday school, the world is loud about its message. But when you come to this place, the message here and the message you're going to hear is the message of the gospel. And watch this, it's not of this world. It's of that world. It's of heaven. It's from God. The message of the gospel is from God to your soul this morning. And so Jesus says, it's not my kingdom is not of this world. And if you're looking for answers in this world, you're not going to find it. So you don't have to be concerned. Pilate, therefore, verse 37, said unto him, art thou a king then? So Jesus acknowledged that he was a king, even though he's not a king of this world. Jesus said, look what verse 37, thou sayest that I'm a king, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness, and then he says, to the truth. So Jesus here is having a conversation with Pilate. You know what's interesting is this whole story really is about what God wanted to do in Pilate. And let's not miss that. That the Jews brought Jesus to Pilate, and Pilate now is having a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus then is explaining to him that he's not somebody that's going to rebel or cause a rebellion to revolt or come against the Roman government. But then he said this, my kingdom's not of this world. And the reason why I'm here is because I'm here to deliver the truth. I'm here to give the truth. And those that follow me, they are the people of the truth. Now think about that. Jesus is the one who came to this earth with the message of the truth. And so the implication of that is if you want to find the truth, you're going to find it in Jesus, or you're not going to find it. There's not a lot of truths out there. There's one truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. So we know that he came to deliver the message of the truth. And we also know that this is something that Pilate is interested in because of his response. He said, what is truth? And so that question is probing. It tells us about the mind of Pilate. That Jesus said, he came to deliver the truth. That's why he's here. His kingdom isn't of this world, but why he's here is to deliver the truth and what really the purpose of this life is all about. And he has that message even for Pilate. And Pilate says, what is truth? So when Pilate said that, listen to this, what he was saying is that there is something that has been happening in his mind that has caused him to be curious about what is true. This is an eye-opening question about what's happening in the soul of Pilate. There's a lot of things in this world that Pilate would have been exposed to, and a lot of things that would have made him confused. Can I say that just a minute, like I said a minute ago, the world is loud, and the world has a message. And when you go into the world, you're going to hear that message, and that message is going to be loud, and the world says, this is true. The world says, watch, this is true. But you come to church and you hear God's word, and here's what God says. The world's message is not true. As a matter of fact, it's a lie. And God says through his word and the Spirit of God who touches your heart, this is true. And so there's affirmation in the message, and it's not just the confidence of the preacher. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God who speaks to the heart of man and says, this is true. So you show up, and God says, this is true. But all the time, what's stirring in the hearts of man is, what is true? What is true? Because the message of the world and its confidence and its loudness and its boldness. But then the religions of this world and the denominations of this world. And I'm not here to preach against all the denominations. I don't need to do that. Why? Because we don't need to hear anything that's false. We need to hear what is true. Amen. When I worked at the bank, you know what they taught me how to discern a false currency? You know, the money that's not real money? Is you study the ones that are real. Don't study the false ones, study the real ones. So when the false ones come in, you can say, something's wrong with that. Something's not right with that. How come you know something's wrong with that? Because I know what the real one looks like. Yeah. And so we come and we hear God's word and he touches us. And the Spirit of God says, this is true. It's not true because I'm shouting it. I like shouting it, but it's not true because I'm shouting it. I'm excited, that's why I'm shouting it. But it's true because it's God's word and he speaks to us and he affirms in us. This is true. And so we come and we hear the message. And what it does is it filters out everything else. All by itself. It filters it out. Just hearing the truth. Now, Pilate would have wanted to know. Just like people in this world. I promise you, we're living in a world of people who would love to know the truth. And they ask this question. And they wonder, what is true, you know? And there's so many religions, so many churches. How do you know which one's right? I remember going to a bus kid's house, and there was a family had 9 kids, and they didn't go to church anywhere. And we were getting acquainted with this family, and I wanted, although the mom and dad were not interested in church, I was wanting to know if mom and dad would allow us to drive a van, if they trusted us to do this, to pick up those 9 children and bring them to church so they could be in Sunday school and hear the gospel. And the mom said this to me, I won't let them come to your church. And it perplexed me when she said that because we were getting acquainted and becoming friends in a sense. And so I asked her, I said, why wouldn't you let them come to church? And she said, well, you know, I'm nervous to let them go to your church because I'm not sure if yours is the right one. And she said, there's so many out there, how do you know which one's the right one? And that question that she had is like Pilate's question. What is truth? You know what's amazing about this is what was true was standing right in front of Pilate. Do you know what that meant? Everything Pilate needed to know was right in front of him. The questions he had, what is true? How can I know with confidence? How can I be for sure I'm on the right path? How can I know that I'm not following some false thing? And any question he might have had in his soul, any question along the way that would have caused confusion. And by the way, there's a lot of confusion. And Pilate would have been confused, which was why he asked this question. What is truth? The answer was right in front of him. But the problem was, watch this, the problem was he left too soon. He's standing in front of Pilate. He asks the question, and it could have been a genuine question, what is truth? But as soon as he asked that question, you know what Pilate did, Brother Leo? He walked out. That's what it says. Yep. He said, the Bible says he said, what is truth? And then he went out. I wonder what would have happened if after he asked that question, what is truth? And then he just stayed. Woo. Think about it. Yeah. What is truth? Jesus said, I came to deliver the truth. Friends, that's why I'm here. Pilate says, what is truth? And then he just stayed. You know what he would have learned? What is truth? He would have learned it. But he left. He left. He left too soon. Went to a D-backs baseball game. My second one ever. Actually, second baseball game ever, not D-backs. But this game made me want to go back. So we're at the game. What made me excited is we were in the all-you-can-eat hot dog section. I was excited. So I'm like, okay, I'll go. So it's a baseball game, so you're like, woo, hot dog, you know. And then the other team got 5 runs in the first quarter. I mean, the first thing. Yeah, the first inning. So now to me, 5 home runs in the first one, I feel like we're done. I mean, this is over, right? But then along the way, we get a run in the second and in the third, and you know, we just get one run along. So that we come to the end of the 8th inning and we're down by 4 points, right? And I'm ready to go home because it's been like I have had too much hot dogs and I'm done, you know. We walked around the whole stadium just to see things, you know, and so it's 8th inning, I'm done. But I had Ethan, Levi, and Kaylin with us, and they're like, no, we want to stay all the way to the very end. And it's the kids, and, you know, I'm like, okay, we'll stay to the end. So we stayed into the 9th inning, and I didn't want to stay. I wanted to go. But we're there, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm sure this will go fast. And we get up to bat. It's the bottom of the 9th, and we're up to bat. And we get on base, and then we get another hit. And we get on base, and then one of our guys scores, and then another one of our guys scores, and then another one of our guys scores. It's getting exciting. I mean, we're only down by 1 point now. And then our best player, I forgot his name, but our best player, he hadn't played the whole game, okay? And he came on the big Megatron, like it showed his name, and he's coming in to bat. And everybody went bonkers, and I don't even know why, because I didn't know who that guy was. I'm like, this guy must be good, because everybody's excited. And he comes up there, and I think he's a left-handed guy, so he gets up there, and I'm thinking, could this really, because we got a guy on first base, and we're down by 1. I'm thinking, can this really happen? I mean, surely this isn't going to happen. You know what I mean? So we get that first pitch, and it comes through, and I think he hit it, but it was a foul ball. And the very next pitch, the second pitch, he hits that thing, and it hits a home run. It was crazy. I mean, I don't even care about anything. And I'm like jumping, and I'm high-fiving people. I'm like, yeah, we did it. You know, I did not know baseball games could be exciting. I mean, it was pandemonium. People were throwing stuff. It was amazing. And then I was like looking around, because we went with a lot of people from our church. And you know I'm going to talk about you. Because there was a couple of people, Brother Bob and Miss Kathy anyway, and they're like, oh, we're done, we're going to leave. And they left before the 9th inning. I know they stayed, but I thought they left. Don't mess up my story. So they left. They're not there with us. Deserters. You know? I didn't really want to leave, you know, but. The Sharons. Where's Brother Jeremy at? You guys were there. They left. And you know what they missed? The pandemonium. They missed the home run. Like the best baseball game I have ever watched. It was only the second one. But it destroyed that first one. Do you know why my friends missed it? Because they left too early. And we laugh about it, and it's true. But that's why we don't hear from God sometimes. That, friends, look at me, that's why you're missing it. You think God is going to fail? Mm-mm. You think God doesn't have truth for you? You think that, you know, maybe there's some other answer out there? There's no other answer out there. The answer is here. The answer is under the banner of the Word of God. The truth of God's Word. And so we ask, what is truth? But then we leave. It's like, my marriage is messed up. My marriage is not where it needs to be, someone might say. And I'm having these problems, and God keeps telling me He can fix it. And God's word keeps, and the pastor keeps, and people keep. And I keep hearing this, that God can repair, and God can fix, and God can do these things. But I'm here to tell you, I've tried it, and it seems like it's not working. And you know what, pastor? I'm just not sure that I'm going to keep going down that path anymore. And what ends up happening, watch, is husbands and wives who are going through turmoil and struggle start thinking that God can't fix things. And they're asking questions like this: what is truth? What is truth? What can fix this? What is the right path? But you know what the answer is? The answer is right here. But pastor, how do I get it? You have to stay. You can't leave too soon. You know what God wants to do in your marriage? Watch this. God wants to knock it out of the park. And my promise to you is this, is He can and He will. But you just got to stay. You got to be patient. You got to be where God wants you to be, and you got to be doing what God wants you to do. Yep. And He'll do it. He'll do a work in your family. The same thing with our children, and we get frustrated about the path that our kids are on. And we wonder, is this going to be okay? Is this going to be right? Can this be corrected? And the answer is right in front of us. The truth is right in front of us, but what we need is to stay. Listen, there are folks that come to our church, and there's needs in families. And by the way, there's not anybody here who doesn't have a need. The answer for you, the truth for you, is right here. It's in this place. It's under the banner of the Word of God. And why do we not get it? There are times that we don't get what God wants us to have because we leave too soon. We're not here. We're not under the truth, so we can't receive it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We miss it. And there are those that need to be saved. Did you know there's urgency in the gospel? There's urgency. What do you mean? I mean that if you're lost this morning, or you don't know that you have everlasting life, you're like, pastor, you talk about this every Sunday. Yeah, and it needs to be said. Because there's urgency in the gospel. If you're lost this morning, this is not a little thing. And you might be wondering, what is truth? The answer is here, but what you need is to stay and let God work in your heart. Amen. And He'll begin to convict you. Listen, if you're lost, you need to be saved. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came. That's the nature of the truth. And what you need is to be here to hear from Him so that He might bring conviction. And your heart might be broken so that you can come and turn your heart to Him before it's too late. You say, you know, pastor, I think I'll be all right. I think I'll be all right. Are you lost? Then you won't be all right. If you need to be saved, you won't be all right. It's like that song we heard. I think it was the second verse. You talked about our works, or it might have been on the chorus, but our works doesn't give us salvation. It's not the things that we do. You're not going to go to heaven because you showed up this morning or because you put money in the offering plate. Because you're a good person, or you have religion, or you've been baptized. You're not going to go to heaven because of that. What you need is the truth. And what sometimes happens, watch, people come, and I'm thankful for that. And the truth is presented, like in this context right here. And now you have a chance. This is not between you and me. This is between you and God. And He wants to save your soul. And so now you have a chance to be saved. But what happens is God speaks to you, speaks to us, and we don't let Him work in our hearts. We don't have an openness to what He wants to do in our soul. And watch, we leave, and then we don't come back. And how many people along the way who've heard the message of the gospel in this place, and you've heard me say it, raise your hand if you need to be saved, and then there's hands all over. And maybe you're not peeking, because you know that's what I mean when I say close your eyes and bow your head, right? And you're not looking. But you hear me say, I see that hand in that hand. And there are those that perhaps along the way, you've raised your hand because you know you need to be saved. But then God's convicting you, but you don't come, and you don't get it settled, and you leave this place. The truth is here. The truth isn't out there. And what happens is we leave too soon. God wants to do a work in your life. And the work He wants to do in your life and in your family, it's here. It's under His word. It's not out there in this world. It's under the Word of God. So what do we need to do? We need to stay. We need to stay. We need to be here. Be under the Word of God and let Him work. You know, that's where surrender is. I said, I think either in prayer or at Sunday school this morning, that there's one of two things that'll happen when God starts working in your life. And by the way, He's going to work in your life if you show up here. Because the Word of God, we love the Word of God, and the Word of God is hot. I mean, we are going to deliver it with passion here. That's my burden. But so one of two things will happen in our lives if we keep coming. If you keep coming, you're going to be convicted, and God's going to work in your heart, and eventually your heart's going to break, because the Word of God is a hammer and your heart is a rock. And He's going to break you. You keep coming, He's going to break your heart. But if you don't want your heart to be broken, then you'll say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. And so that's the second thing. You just won't come back. You want God to work in your life? You want Him to reveal truth in your life? You want Him to direct your path? Then you need to be here. You need to be under the truth. You need to be exposed to God's Word and where He wants you to be. And He'll show you. For your marriage, for your children, for your life, for your need of salvation. This morning it might be where you are. Let me encourage you this morning, if God's working in you, to submit yourself to Him. To let Him work in you. Can I say this also? To be here. To be here. If this is the church God wants you to be in, then you need to be here. I'm going to finish with this, so don't check out on me. I'm almost done. If this is the church God wants you to be in, it's not for me to say that. But if you know this is where God wants you to be, then you need to be here. Why? Because you need truth. You need it. The world's not going to give it to you. You need to be here. Don't leave and then decide you're not going to come back. Don't go out there and decide you're going to be spotty in your faithfulness. If you can be here, then be here. And God will work in you. He'll affirm you. He'll convict you. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you truth. And then that's it. That's the answer. The answer's here. You know, Pilate, the answer was right in front of you all along. But you left. You left. And when you could have had it. Let's not let that be us this morning. Every head